In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on page 2, volume 6, October 20th, 1905. My daughter Louisa, sin is fire. My justice is fire. Now, since my justice must remain always the same, just always in operating without receiving any profane fire into itself, when the fire of sin wants to unite itself to its own fire, it pours it over the earth, converting it into fire of chastisement. So we see that there is, we're going to be going through fire. The first purification was of water, where Noah's ark, floated and was safe. The one family was saved, so the world was purified from the interbreeding of the Nephilim, and that's in Genesis 6. And whatever that means, I'm not sure, but it's very interesting that God saw what was going on and said, "I have to purify the world." The second purification was when Jesus died on the cross, and he shed every drop of his blood for our redemption. And so the second purification is of blood. But the third purification, Jesus says, is of fire. And what we're seeing here, this fire that's going to come, if it's fire is of sin, it's going to consume the world. But Jesus says that the fire that he wants us to go through is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The fire of God's love is going to consume the children of the divine will. And he says four things. First, that the large majority of humanity will be gone because of this fire. Second, his mother is marking all her children, the children of the divine will, so no harm can come to them. Number three, he says that the little children of the holy divine will, this fire will have little or no effect upon them. And number four, he says, after this fire, the only survivors will be the little children of the holy divine will. So when you look at this, there is the third purification is coming. Now, you got to be honest when you think of all the little children who have been aborted. Think of all the little children that were not allowed to be conceived that God had planned. Think of all the alternative lifestyles that are not in accord with God's will. You know, that's just a few of the things that are going on. And it's very, very, we have to understand that we're living in times that Jesus says must be purified. So he says very clearly, the fire of sin wants to set the world on fire. See, the devil wants to bring people into hell just to torment them for all eternity. This fire, he says, is going to pour over the earth. It is going to convert into a fire of chastisement. But at the same time, the fire of God's love is going to be coming upon the earth. That's why Our Lady said, it's going to be good for some, but it's going to be bad for most. And again, we can see what that means. The road to hell is very wide and many travel it. That's the many. For the few, it's Jesus says, the road to heaven is very narrow and few find it. And that's, again, to understand where this is, it's between the two candles that are on the altar. That's how narrow the road is. Jesus wants us to be brought into the kingdom. But the majority of people are not following the narrow way. The majority of people are going in the 360 degrees all around. And our job is to say to Jesus, I want what you want. I surrender to you. You are my Lord, my Master, my King, my Savior. You are my God. You are my all. I want to be with you. I want to be with your mother. So Jesus says, follow Louisa. and you will receive what I gave to her. So it's that. See, Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, but through you, people will know me, Jesus. Through you, people will know my mother. And that's what's happening. You know, we have Lent coming up next week. And if you can get a small group of people to pray the hours of the Passion, the town, Jesus says, the towns that are praying this will be saved. The chastisement will be lessened in those towns. If you can get your family, you know, and sometimes I when I try to get people, would you read this? And they go, yeah, you know, okay, well, just, and then just keep on calling. Did you read what you read yesterday? Wasn't that great? You know, encourage them. But if you could get a group of people to read the 24 Hours of the Passion, Jesus says that the chastisement will be lessened in that area. So again, we have a lot of work to do, especially this Lent. If we can focus on the 24 Hours of the Passion, and also, you know, watch again if you haven't seen it, watch it. Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Jesus wants us to see what he went through. He wanted his mother there to watch him die. He says, I want you to know how much love I have for mankind. And when we review, you know, Mel Gibson's movie, one of the greatest movies ever made, what happens at that point? We get a glimpse of what Jesus went through. And he wants us to look at him. That's why when the priest holds up the host and says, this is the Lamb of God, it's not the time to bow your head. St. Teresa says, now is the time we look at that host and we say to Jesus, looking right at him, I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. You know, when we're in front of the monstrance at Eucharistic Adoration, it's not a time for reading. I mean, if you're there for a couple hours, okay, but spend an hour looking at Jesus, adoring Jesus, loving Jesus, praising Jesus, glorifying Jesus. Let your heart become on fire in love with him. And all that is you are looking at God. God, who is the hidden Savior, the prisoner of love, God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, looks like bread and tastes like bread, completely silent, and the churches are empty. See, Jesus, he's given everything to the Holy Catholic Church, and we have to begin to live this Catholic life, this universal life, spending time with Jesus. Spending time between in that narrow path to God between those two candles. Volume 7, May 7th, 1906. In fact, since you, Louisa, occupy the same office as victim, I, God, should make you feel the weight of the pains of other souls. Therefore, to spare them, I shall go out, yes, but not from within you, rather from within God. Without a humanity, my divine justice shall make its course as appropriate to chastise the creatures. And it seemed he would go deeper and deeper inside. And I repeat to Jesus, Lord, come out, spare your children, your very members, your images. So here Jesus says, she has the same office as victim as Jesus did, as Mary did. Okay, see, the saints had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary. Let's look at St. Maximian Kolbe. He had the virtue of purity, symbolized by the crown. A virtue of martyrdom, symbolized by the crown. And again, it's not the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That wasn't for the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God. Okay, so when St. Teresa would, you know, obey the Mother Superior and would wash the dishes, God would look down and go, oh, there's little Teresa doing the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? But with Louisa, and for all the souls linked to Louisa, it's different. It's not just doing the will of God, but living in the will of God. So when we pray, we say, Jesus, come wash dishes as I wash the dishes. You wash in my washing. So when the Father looks down and he sees Louisa, he says, oh, there's my son, Jesus, God, washing the dishes through, with, in, for Louisa. This is a divine act. It's God doing it. It's not Louisa. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect this image and likeness of God is happening. So with the saints, they did the will of God. So in the office, same office of Jesus and Mary, it doesn't mean that she's equal to Jesus. She's equal to Mary. It means that she possesses this gift that God has been waiting 6,000 years to give back to mankind, living in the will of God. So don't ever say, you know, Louisa's equal to Jesus. You know, that's foolish. Nobody's equal to Jesus. Don't ever say she's equal to Mary. Mary's Theotokos. She's the mother of God. No one equals Mary. But she basically has the same spiritual DNA of Jesus, spiritual DNA of Mary. And that's what's so glorious about this. He says, I should make you feel the weight of the pains of others, therefore to spare them. So the suffering that Louisa went through was tremendous. I shall go out, yes, but not from within you. Rather, from within God, without a humanity, that my divine justice make its course be as appropriate to the chastisement of the creatures, of the souls. Lord, she says, come out, spare your children. Do you see how much Louisa loved us? She did not want us to go through the sufferings that Jesus was giving to her. She would say to Jesus constantly, send me divine justice, punish me rather than punishing the people. And that's what she did through the whole course of her life. And because of that, Jesus says, you, Louisa, will bring justice to the earth. And this is the thing that's so astonishing. This divine justice that's coming to the earth, Scripture says, Jesus comes with divine justice. That's what we're seeing in Louisa. Jesus says that this divine justice, through divine justice, God will give us his mercy. So great things are coming. Great and glorious things are coming. Volume 7, June 22nd, 1906. My beloved Louisa, this garment is similar to my garment that I have communicated to you. Louisa, by having shared with you the pains of my passion, by having chosen you, Louisa, as victim, this garment covers and protects the whole world, since it is the whole world that no one can escape from its protection. But by the world, with its abuses, they no longer deserve to be covered by this garment, but to feel all the weight of the divine indignation. So I am, he uses his title as God, about to draw to myself to be able to give vent to my divine justice, which has been restrained for a long time by this garment that you, Louisa, are wearing. So here Jesus says, now that she's in heaven, expect chastisement. And again, this lady called me the other day. She goes, all you talk about is doom and gloom. I'm saying, no. We're to get ready for heaven. This doom and gloom is coming. It's the third purification, which has to happen. I mean, we have to understand that. It's not doom and gloom. It's heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to eternity. We're going to go to the place that God has created for us. Earth is not the place where God created for us. This body, Scripture says, is food for worms. We're going to look at this body and we're going to say, we were living dead compared to the abundant life that is in the divine will. I mean, we get old, we get gray-haired, we get wrinkled, and we die. Thank God. Adam and Eve did not eat from the tree of life. Can you imagine what Adam would look like right now? He'd just be a pool of goo. Thank God we have to die. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you a reflection of my glorified body. This is the preternatural life that Adam had before the fall. Integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. It's to begin to live a life of God. That book that came out last year on divinity, called to be children of God. All the saints talk about a share in divinity. This is why we were created, to be divinized. St. Augustine says, either you're going to be divinized by the end of your life, or you're going to be demonized by the end of your life, but nothing in between. Either you're going to go to heaven to be divinized, or you're going to hell to be demonized. So let's look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. How do they keep holy the Sabbath? That's one of the main commandments. There's a paragraph after keep holy the Sabbath. Everything else is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But after keep holy the Sabbath, there is a paragraph. And we use Sunday as another Saturday. We use Sunday as a day of sports. Golf, tennis, you know, track, bicycling. It's a great, glorious day. No, it's the Lord's day. And we have to get strict with ourselves. That we're going to keep holy the Lord's day. We're not going to steal it from Him. We're going to truly be Catholic. This whole CYO thing that the Catholic Church has done taught people to play games on Sunday. Who initiated that CYO? Who wanted Catholics to play sports on Sunday? It was Saul Alinsky in Chicago, communist. Destroy Sunday. Make it a happy day, a holy, happy day where you can do what you want. See, we have to be strict with ourselves, and especially with this Lent. People say to me, well, you know, I'm going to give up being mean on the phone. I'm going to fast from being mean on the phone. Fasting is about food. It's not about being nice. Food is very tough to give up. But that's what it's all about. It's to fast. And you don't starve yourself during Lent. You fast and you follow what the church says. Two small meals, one meal that's equivalent to the last two small meals. That's fasting. Starving is when you hurt yourself to the point where your gallbladder is ruptured for the rest of your life. It's not to starve yourself, but to fast. Follow what the church says. And again, this Lenten season, make the hours of the Passion your everything. You know, use Sunday of watching the Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Get to know what Jesus went through. I've had people say, oh, it's too horrible, I didn't want to watch it. Well, He made His mother watch Him die. And you're too innocent that you can't watch what Jesus went through. Watch Jesus die. Watch what He went through for you and for me. Again, Jesus says to Louisa, He says, your garment is similar to my garment. He says, but when this is taken away, then the chastisement is coming. It's been restrained for a long time by you, Louisa, the garment that you're wearing, but it's going to be taken away. Volume 7, October 14th, 1906. I saw a soul from purgatory who, in seeing us, Louisa, the baby Jesus, hid and shunned us. The blushing she felt was such that she was as though crushed. And I was surprised, and instead of running to baby Jesus, she would run away. Jesus disappeared, and I drew near her, asking the reason for it. And she was so ashamed that she could not utter a word, But as I forced her, she told me the just justice of God for having sealed upon my forehead confusion and such fear of his presence that I am forced to shun him. I act against my own will, because while I am consumed with yearning for him, other pain inundates me and I shun him. O God, to see Jesus and to shun Jesus, these are mortal and unutterable pains. However, I have deserved these pains, distinct from those other souls, because in conducting a devout life many times I made abuse by not receiving communion because of trifles, because of temptations, because of coldnesses, because of fears, and even sometimes in order to be able to bring reasons to my confessor to let him hear that I was not receiving communion. So she did not receive communion, and therefore when she saw Jesus, she was ashamed. See, the devil doesn't want you to receive communion. If you're not in mortal sin, receive Holy Communion. When you say an act of contrition, your venial sin is gone. When you receive Holy Communion, your venial sin is gone. Don't deny Jesus. I mean, Jesus is calling each and every one of us, come and spend some time with me. Spend an hour with me. And we run the other way. Jesus wants us to be with him. And we really have to turn and go back to him. Volume 7, May 9th, 1907. I want to tell you, Louisa, to show you where your mother is. Since before and after she passed away, you suffered continuously that which I earned, did, and endured for her good in the course of my life. Your mother partakes in what I did and enjoy in my holy humanity. Only the divinity is concealed from your mother, but it shall shortly be unveiled to her as well. And the fire you, Louisa, feel and your prayers serve to exempt her from any other pains of the senses that all must have because of my justice, receiving satisfaction from you, Louisa, could not take it from both. So here Jesus says that, I mean, listen to that one part. All your senses are going to be punished. What you see, that's why in the old anointing of the sick, your eyes were anointed, your ears were anointed, your nostrils were anointed, your mouth was anointed, your hands were anointed, your feet were anointed. Your senses had to be blessed. And just think about it. What you have heard, which is evil, has to be made atoned for. That's every rotten joke. Everything that you said, everything that you may have slandered somebody with, there has to be an atonement for. Everything that you thought, everything that you saw, everything that you, where you walked, where you went, everything that you touched outside the will of God, everything has to be atoned for. Jesus talks about this. He says, you know, I don't want to send you where you want to go, to the sea of fire, the lake of fire that never ends, where the worm never stops consuming your body. Think about it. Louisa's greatest sin was wanting to be a nun rather than staying in bed. She says, Jesus, I would do better being a nun helping people than staying here in bed just rotting. She says that was her greatest sin. And yet when Jesus says, I want you to go to confession to me, she spent 7 hours before Jesus confessing her sins. Her greatest sin was wanting to be a nun rather than staying in bed because she thought she could do more for God. But she spent 7 hours confessing her sins. You know how long we're going to be confessing our sins to Jesus? This is why when Our Lady says when people die, the majority of people who die immediately go to purgatory. Many go to hell, but very few go to heaven. Because you have to be perfect to get into heaven. That means repairing for every thought, every word, every deed, everything that you failed to do. And if you don't understand, Jesus is going to get us ready for eternity. And this is the reason we're focused on divine justice. And here he says, your mother is in heaven, and she's going to enter into the divinity. He says very clearly, because of what you, Louisa, have done and what I have done for her. And see, when Jesus uses I, he's always talking about his Blessed Mother. It's always Jesus, Mary, and he says, and you, Louisa. Volume 7, July 4th, 1907. My daughter Louisa, keep walking, keep walking. If I am goodness, if I am mercy, if I am sweetness, if I am also justice, I am also strength, I am also power. And if I saw you, Louisa, go backward or commit voluntary defect after so many graces that I have given you, you would deserve to be struck by lightning. And indeed, I, God, would strike you, Louisa. So he's saying the same thing to us. Keep on walking. Keep going towards Jesus. Keep growing closer to Jesus, closer to Mary. And he says, and if you go backwards, if you voluntarily make a defect, he says, you would deserve to be struck by lightning. And he says, and I, God, will do it. See, God isn't, well, you want to go to hell? Okay, go ahead, go to hell. He's going to punish us. He does not want to lose us. He does not want to lose us. And sometimes the suffering that we go through is our response is, fiat, I deserved it. Fiat, I need this. See, I'm a member of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels. And in that, you say to your angel, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Just keep me walking towards God. It's you've got to be severe with yourself. You know, you get up in the morning, you don't want to pray, pray. You say to Jesus, I promise to do this. I've had some people say to me, well, you can make a promise, but if you don't want to be faithful to it, it's okay. God understands. If you make a promise to Jesus, be faithful to that promise. See, we're that whole story about people going on a diet, and they write down everything that they eat during the day for the first week, and they write, no, make sure everything that you eat, and they write it all down, and then they weigh themselves. Okay, then the following week they have to eat what they wrote down, and they lose twice as much weight. Because they don't follow, they're not strict on themselves. Well, I had a candy bar, maybe just a half of one, maybe it was three quarters, I'm not sure. Maybe it was two, but I only had half a candy bar. I mean, we're not strict. People come to confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know what my spouse did? I don't care what your spouse did. What did you do? Confess your sins. See, it's When the illumination of conscience comes, people are going to be terrified. People are going to be terrified because they give themselves the excuse constantly. Thank God I'm not as bad as that person over there. You know, it's the Pharisee, the whole thing of the Pharisee in the front of the church and the publican in the back of the church. You know, thank God I go to church. Thank God I, you know, give, to, you know, in the offertory. You know, it's Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our Master. And we have to look at our life. What did you think about today? You know, at the end of our day, when we do our act of contrition, examination of conscience, we really should say, tomorrow I'm going to be better. Tomorrow I'm going to spend more time adoring God rather than, you know, being distracted. Tomorrow I'm going to draw closer to Jesus and Mary than today. See, that's what God is looking for. That's why he says, if you go backwards, you deserve to be struck by lightning, and I'm going to strike you. Again, God does not want to lose us. He's got great plans for us. Volume 7, October 12, 1907. My daughter Louisa, courage, patience in the state in which you are in. Since justice wants to pour itself out upon the creatures, it refrains from pouring itself upon you, and the void of your suffering shall fill the void of their sufferings. Let us give course to divine justice a little bit, and it is necessary that creatures are growing too bold. Then everything shall end, and I shall be with you, Louisa, like before. So he's saying, I'm going to, again, back off from punishing you, from giving you divine justice, so that your void of suffering will be given to the creatures. And he says, but they're growing too bold. I mean, look what we did. We passed laws that say you can kill your children. We passed laws that say you can be married outside the will of God. I mean, did they forget about Sodom and Gomorrah? This is boldness. And hang on to your hats. Again, Noah did not get wet. Okay, it's the same thing for us. If we are with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, we're not going to get wet. God is going to take care of us. We're going to have to go through the storm, but God will protect us. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you haven't prayed the prayer to Faustina enough. Jesus, I trust in you. See, this is what God is waiting for. Courage. Be patient. Trust God. Believe in God. Hope in God. Have confidence in God. Volume 8, October 29th, 1907. Remember that some time ago I showed you, Louisa, the present chastisements as well as those that I was to send. And you, presenting yourself before my divine justice, pleaded so much for mankind, offering yourself to suffer anything that it was conceded to you, as alms. And instead of doing 10 out of regard for it, you would do 5. This is why this morning I beat you, Louisa, to be able to give you your intent that though I having to do 10, I do to 5. So he says, Louisa, you took on the beating of 5, half of what I was going to do. See, it's this relationship that Jesus had with Louisa was a relationship that Jesus had with himself. Jesus says, I went to the cross. I was obedient to my Father. Even my mother said, Jesus, I want you crucified. And he says, Louisa, you stand in the way. Somebody's going to have to take the punishment. You will be punished. Why? Because of your love for mankind. That's what Jesus had for us. That's what Mary had for us. Now they found a newborn who did the same thing. Can you imagine taking on the punishment, half the punishment of Jesus says? Volume 8, March 22nd, 1908. A venerable lady came out, and those who had received food from a young man who was Jesus drew around this lady and asked her what my state was. And the lady answered, the state of this soul is the state of continuous prayer. It's the state of continuous sacrifice. It's the state of continuous union with God. And while being in this state, Louisa is exposed to all the events of the church, all the events of the world, and of all the justice of God. She is the one that is praying, repairing, and disarming, and preventing as much as Louisa can the chastisements that justice wants to unload upon souls. And so things are all suspended. So here's Jesus and Mary talking about Louisa. This venerable lady is Our Lady. Jesus is the young man. And what do they say? Louisa, your soul is in the state of continuous prayer. This continuous sacrifice, continuous union with God. You are holding back the justice of God by repairing, redoing, disarming, and preventing as much as you can the chastisements of justice that's going to be unloaded upon all of mankind. When we get to know Louisa, we don't want to be far from her. When we get to know Louisa, we want to have what Jesus gave to her. This is what the Lord is asking of us. Volume 8, May 2nd, 1908. My daughter Louisa, a just justice is mine. Mine is. The rich have been the first to give a bad example to the poor, the first to move away from religion, the first from fulfilling their duties, to the point of feeling ashamed even to enter a church or to attend Mass or to perform their obligations. The poor have nourished themselves with their poisonous slobber. The poor have fed themselves well with the poison of their bad example. And that same poison, by giving them unable to contain it, they try to attack them and even kill them. There is no order without subjection. The rich have subtracted themselves from God, and the peoples rebel against God, against the rich, against everyone. The scale of my divine justice is full. I, God, can no longer contain it. So who does he blame first? He blames the rich. Why? Because they're the first that went away from God. They're the first that made Saturday evening Mass their Sunday Mass so that they could have fun all day Sunday. And the poor followed their example. And he says, now the poor are so angry that they even try to kill and attack the rich. He says, God wants us to be back in order, and you have a responsibility for all the people around you. Let's just think about it. If the parents don't go to church on Sunday, the children are not going to go to church on Sunday. All that has to happen is, well, we'll go to the Saturday night Mass, and then Sunday we'll have the whole day to do what we want. Children said, well, if you can do it once, you can do it all the time. And why bother go to Saturday Mass? I can use Saturday too for my day. See, we have a responsibility. It's very, very important that we show God that we are truly Catholic. We show God that we truly want this universal life. And keeping holy the Sabbath is the essential thing. He says very clearly, the scale of my justice is full. I can no longer contain it. Volume 8, August 10th, 1908. Now, if justice forces me to deprive you, Louisa, of me, and to be far away for some time, you can say that I, God, have taken the gifts away from you, and that there is a diminution of love, and I, my state is too hard, my dear life. What am I here for? If you do not let me suffer, to spare my neighbors the chastisement, and you have said many times that you would not allow rain, and it is not raining, so I cannot beat you. I can't beat you in anything. Whatever you say, you do. And while if I had you near me like before, I could tell you so much, and you would let me win. How can you say that distance is nothing? So here, Jesus, she shows that anything she said to Jesus, Jesus would do. My Jesus, it is precisely because of this that I am, he uses his name again, forced to be far away, so as not to let you win, Louisa, but give the course to divine justice to mankind. However, by keeping you, Louisa, here, there is also some good, because the lack of water shall call for famine, and during this time the people shall be humiliated, and after slaughters and wars have taken place, grace shall find them more disposed to be saved. And this is not also a good? Is this not also a good that while wars were being about to overtake the famine, by keeping you, Louisa, here, they shall be postponed for a little longer. So therefore, more souls shall be saved. So Jesus knows what he's doing. And even though Louisa says, I don't want the people to be hurt, I don't want the people to be punished. Punish me. Let me win. Jesus says, no, I've got to I've got to send some chastisement so that the people can be saved. The people, see, Scripture says this, people are going to fall on their knees pleading for God. What's coming? We're not just talking about financial collapse. We're not just talking about food shortages. We're talking about cosmic events that have to take place. And people are, it says Scripture, in Scripture, they're going to look to the heavens and be terrified of what's coming. That hasn't happened yet, but it's close. Gee, when your family is in terror and you are in terror and they say, what do? You're not going to be able to say, Jesus, I trust in you, because you're not living it. So you have to live this now. Total trust, total confidence, total hope. Christian hope is certitude. I am confident in you, Jesus, and I want to be with you. I want to spend my time that narrow path to God between those two candles on the altar. That's my narrow path to God. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and it's going to be kept holy. And again, Jesus stands back and he says, let me see what you're going to do. Volume 8, September 5th, 1908. On the day of judgment, it shall be terrible for the wicked, not seeing any seeds of love in themselves, but rather hate towards me, Jesus. My divine justice imposes on me not to love them. And the persons who are not loved, one does not want to keep around. And one makes use of some means to drive them away. I, God, shall not want to keep them with me, and they shall not want to stay. We shall shun each other. Love alone is what unites. Love alone makes all happy. The divine will is love alone. Heaven is love. And Jesus says, he says that, not everyone who cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only the one who does the will of the Father. And now he says to Louisa, only the one who lives in the will of the Father. We have to take this seriously. Volume 8, January 2nd. 1909, the number of sacrileges committed by priests and also by the peoples is such that I, God, was tired of descending into their hands, into their hearts, to the point of being forced to destroy almost all of them. That's what St. Paul says. Don't condemn yourself by receiving Jesus in the state of mortal sin. And then, what about the ambition and the scandals of the priests? Everything was darkness in them. They were no longer the light that which they should be. And when the priests reached the point of no longer giving out light, the peoples reached the excesses, and my justice is forced to destroy them. See, if there is trouble, it's because of the priesthood. It's because of the bishops. But because the bishops and priests are not doing what they want, it's the trouble of the laity. Because the laity is not praying for them. So if you're having trouble with your bishop, it's because you're not praying enough. If you have trouble with your priest, it's because you're not praying enough. Jesus says one prayer, and that's the Our Father. But he says to the community, pray to the Lord of the harvest that the Lord will send out harvesters. That's priests. It's the only prayer that the community should be praying. If you don't have good priests, you're the devil's got you. And that's what he says. If there's not giving out light, the people reaches the excesses of sin. And then my justice is forced to destroy them all. Volume 9, September 11th, 1910. My daughter Louisa, my justice and mercy are in continuous fight, and the victories of mercy are more than those of justice. Now, when a soul is perfectly united with my holy divine will, the soul takes part in my actions ad extra, and as she satisfies with her sufferings, mercy is obtained most beautiful victories over justice. And since I, God, delight in crowning all of my attributes with mercy, even justice itself, in seeing myself being importuned by the soul united with me, in order to content her, I, God, surrender to the soul, to Louisa, because she has surrendered all of her things in my holy divine will. That's why we want to be linked to Louisa. This is why I do not come when I do not want to surrender, because I don't trust that I can resist Louisa without surrendering. See, what's coming is mercy for those in the divine will. He says it very clearly. He says, mercy obtains its most beautiful victories over divine justice. What's coming is going to be very horrible, very terrible. But with divine justice, divine mercy, because of Louisa, even justice itself is blessed. God wants us to understand it's going to be bad. We're returning back to the kingdom. We're supposed to live in eternity. And Jesus is saying to us, get ready, get ready, get ready. Great things are coming. So we'll end there, and we'll have Holy Mass we'll have the Holy Rosary in 15 minutes. If you have any holy oil, you want oil blessed, bring it up here. If you want bells to be blessed, bring them up here. What else? Anything you want blessed, bring it up here, and we'll get that done. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.